Welcome to the Arise Ministries Collective Podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage the body of Christ in biblical truth and understanding. We believe that when women have an authentic and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, truly know God's Word, and are dependent on the Holy Spirit, they become powerful and influential vessels for the kingdom. I'm Lisa De Silva, and today we're picking up where we left off in our interview with Vicki Dillon. If you haven't had a chance to listen to part one of our chat about mentorship, you can find it on our website or on iTunes. We hope you enjoy our candid discussion about what our own relationship looked like with Vicki as my mentor, and how you too can come alongside other women in a tangible expression of Christ's love and leadership.
Maybe some of the fears associated with mentoring. And I often hear from young women, and even not so young women, that they can't find someone to mentor them. So they've even asked people in the church, asked women, will you mentor me? Will you come alongside me? And I recently told a dear friend of mine, she's my age, she's in her 40s. I told her that you and I were going to sit down, we were going to record a podcast about mentoring. And she said that she has never been able to find a mentor. Mm. So she's 43 years old, she's grown up in the church, she's never been able to find a mentor. So why do you think that is?
That grieves my heart.
I know. Mm-hmm. It actually, it grieves my heart too. And then if I'm not careful, it can throw me into this sheer frustration. Because I just know what I've benefited from. I try not to throw it in people's faces. Like I actually, there are times where I don't share, oh, I learned that from my mentor. Oh, my mentor taught me to do this, because I'm growing in my realization that women are longing for a mentor and they can't find one. And so why do you think so many Christian women shy away from mentoring others? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say systematically and organically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. The million-dollar question, right? I think there's a few reasons why, but they probably all can boil down to fear. So there's fear, insecurity, you know, women feeling like they don't have the time to do that. And maybe even more than that is, I think there are just women who don't understand or have never been taught, one, the biblical mandate, and two, the value of it, because maybe they've never had it in their life. And so I was blessed. I didn't grow up in the church. So as a young adult, as a young woman who was searching for God, searching for meaning, for purpose, and found Jesus Christ, my brother led me to the Lord at age 22, and then had that initial experience of being in this community, which was like a family. And then my first formal, I would say very formal mentor was Bambi. She was my Bible study teacher, a 4'10" Korean woman with long black hair, and she loved Jesus and loved the Word. So I was fortunate to learn fairly early on that God is inviting us, that Jesus' words, go and make disciples. So he's inviting, asking, mandating that we do that to spread the gospel. Just less formally, this organic, relational thing that we call mentoring, as women, we need that relationship. I think in the olden days, you know, where you had mothers and daughters, mother-in-laws and daughters-in-laws. We didn't have all the social media. We didn't have all the distractions of today. Mentoring might have happened a little more organically.
Yes, yeah.
Whether it was biblical mentoring, you know, whether it was Bible study or just what it looked like to be a wife or how to cook, that kind of things. But now we're really in just a different world. So what are the barriers is kind of what we're talking about. Is I think there's fear about, you know, I don't know the Bible well enough, so how could I mentor another woman? I don't know where to begin, how to begin. I'm afraid to pray out loud. I know that was one of my fears. I've never been mentored, and my own life is a mess. So what do I have to share? And those are real fears. And so I think where I am in my life now, I'm in my early 50s, And the Lord has been so good and faithful that I am able to look back now and see some of the benefits, the results, the fruit of having had mentors in my life and then mentoring others. I want to teach and equip other women how to do that. That is a passion of mine.
And you talked for a minute about the biblical mandate.
Yes.
And then I just heard you say that I want to equip women.
Yes.
Are you responsible for equipping women?
I feel responsible.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one way I can mentor.
Yeah, yeah.
Train. You know, mentor can also mean training. And I think women in the church, too, can stumble over, well, their spiritual gifts.
Hmm.
Like, for those of us, one of my spiritual gifts is shepherding. So mentoring might come a little more naturally to me. I'm not sure. But it might, because that is my spiritual gift. So so relating to women as a shepherd, I'm more naturally bent towards that. So other women that may have different spiritual gifts, like hospitality, maybe teaching, prophecy, may think, well, either one, I'm off the hook because it's not my gifting, or two, I don't know how to do it. I would challenge that. And I would say, whatever your spiritual gifting is, because by the way, those are God-given, you can always bring alongside somebody and invite them into that world. So I have a friend named Lynn, and she has the gift of hospitality in spades. She's just this beautiful woman inside and out. And what she does with the gift of hospitality is she invites these young women into her home, and she helps teach them to cook.
Hmm.
And she's very purposeful about it.
And she's a really good cook.
She's an amazing
yes.
cook. And so but she's purposeful about it, because she knows it's not about the cooking per se. It's about
the relationship.
These young women.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's modeled that to me, that you can always, you know, mentoring isn't always really formal. It can be formal, you know, like a weekly meeting, a study, a plan, and that's wonderful. But there's other times where you do it less formally, where you, like she does, maybe quarterly or monthly, I want you gals to come over and we'll do this. So it can look, you know, it can come in so many different shapes and sizes. But one of the most humbling things that I have learned as well is that my time, I can hoard my time, and it at times is way easier to give of my money, my thoughts, my wisdom, whatever, but I hoard my time and I don't want to give my time. And the Lord has really convicted me on that at times when maybe I haven't wanted to share some of my time with other gals, and He's convicted me and said, well, you have a lot to give and I've given that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your turn to share. So, you know, and so these barriers, I think first and foremost, and this probably sounds so obvious, but if we are prayerful, you know, this friend of yours that has never been able to find a mentor, if she can begin or continue to be prayerful and ask the Lord to bring her or show her, I believe He will, because
yeah.
that's His heart.
Yeah.
That's how we grow. That's His plan. That's part of being the plan A of the church, that we are making disciples through the relationships with other believers.
And something that struck me in what you said about this time thing, first, I appreciate that you're so honest about this, that we can be people that hoard our time. And as I look at my schedule and someone asks me to meet them for coffee or to be their mentor, there are times where my chest just gets so red because I'm thinking, oh, I know that I have a responsibility to come alongside, but my schedule just feels so full. It's almost raises this anxiety, right? Of how am I going to do this well? And one of the things that I often come back to in our relationship is how creative we were with how we spent time together. So we talked about this before, that you were doing these drives, and so we would talk on your drive. And
I would call my little Prius my prayer closet.
Yes.
For a season. Right, right.
Yeah. And I feel like we were very creative. It didn't have to be a structured every Tuesday morning, because life happens. You were busy. I was busy. So we were creative. You know, I hear you talk about Lynn, that she's at home cooking anyway. Invite invite these women in. Sometimes I'll say to a girl, you know, I was going to go for a walk on Friday morning anyway, right?
Yes.
Do you want to come with me?
Yes.
So we invite them in. There are sometimes, I think, that we actually have to be more structural, where we have to set aside a period of time. But just a reminder that we can be creative.
Yes.
And I also wanted to go back to this mandate. So, you and I love the Word of God.
Oh, yes.
We love.
It's changed my life. Yes.
It changed my life. It continues to change my life. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if I am not in the Word and diligent in figuring out what it says about God and His character and the ways that that changes me, those are the times that I just start to struggle. Mm-hmm. Those are the times I really
I get cranky.
So do.
And cynical. I get really cynical.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anxiety ridden, you know, just all these fears come into our minds. And so I want to take us back to the Word. And you and I talked even this morning about Ephesians when Paul is encouraging the church in Ephesus. And I'm taking this out of Ephesians 4, verses 7, and then jumping ahead to 11 to 13. And I am going to read it. I'm going to read it out loud. So Paul is encouraging the church, and he says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Mm. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers." Mm. So he's looking at spiritual gifts there, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until..." So there's no ending point here. There might be an ending point in a particular relationship, but we do this. We equip the saints until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. And I think we can add sisterhood, womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes." And so what that tells me is that with any gift that we've been given, we have one goal, and that is to equip others. So we're given these gifts to share
with others.
To share
them. Right, not to hoard.
And so spiritual mentoring has the same goal for everyone.
Right.
It's in building others up.
Right.
Building up the church. And we can't do that if we're hoarding our time.
Right.
And we can't do that if we're living in fear and think, this will be too much for me. And I do think, you know, on a practical level, this organic mentorship doesn't have to happen all the time. I know of relationships that you're in where you're just in a season, meeting a girl for coffee, right?
Right, which I love to do that. And another way, I think earlier on, you know, when my kids were younger, when my life was more structured than it is now, that the weekly Bible study, I used to teach precepts Bible study, loved it, just loved it. There was mentoring that went on in God's Word through those relationships. And so, yes, different seasons, it's looked differently. I think one of the most primary ways that God brings women into my life is, and this might not be true for everybody, but for me, is when I am walking through something in my own life, all of the sudden, He starts bringing women, either that I know or don't know, because I might share a little bit about my struggle or something that's on my heart or something that I'm reading, and He'll bring these other women, and guess what? A small group comes out of it, or a one-on-one. And so for me, that's that I have found that that's how God, it, you know, if I pray in the morning, God, what is your will for me today? Show me, please work in and through me. That's how it looks in my life. As I'm opening up a little bit about my life, and then women will share. And so it's that, so organically, those things will arise. And so then out of that comes, you know, something that we have in common that maybe we can meet for a season on. I've had small groups come out of that.
For a season.
For a season. For
so they
a
don't
season.
Have to, those, not every mentoring relationship has to last forever.
I don't think any do.
Ours will.
Yeah, yes,
oh!
It will. Of course it will.
We're on 12 years.
I know, yes. But I do think, especially the formal ones, I definitely feel like there's a beginning and an end.
Yeah, and an end can actually be healthy.
Yes, yes. And, you know, if we kind of go back to when we were talking about some of those fears that women have about, am I qualified or I can't, you know, I don't know how to be a mentor. I think that it's important, and I understand those, but sometimes stepping through that anyway and really just asking the Lord to give you the courage. Or another thing is maybe someone that is mentoring, you can ask them to help you become a mentor.
That's truly coming alongside.
Yeah, or can I co-lead your group or something?
And I think, too, that we were talking about these biblical kind of examples, and you and I talked about the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
This morning, and I'm guessing that his relationships with people didn't last forever as well.
Well, yeah, he was a man on a mission, so he didn't stay in one place very long.
But he took people alongside.
Yes.
We read about him taking young men under his wing, Timothy. And I love this that he wrote in to the church in Corinth. So this is Corinthians 11, verse 1. He says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And then later to the church in Philippi, this is Philippians 4, verse 9, the beginning of that. "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice."
Mm.
Right? So it's like this beautiful cycle of, I'm going to teach you something, and then can you put that into practice and go teach it to someone else?
It's fairly simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And I love that. I love his words, "Follow me
As I follow Christ.
You know, he's not saying, nor as a mentor do you say, "I have it all figured out. I know the whole Bible word for word and understand it all. I never make mistakes. I don't yell at my kids." Mm-hmm. You know, that's not what it means.
Mm-hmm.
What it really means is, if you trust me, come alongside, and as I'm learning to follow Christ, you come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me read out of 2 Timothy 2:2. This is a beautiful picture of mentoring because it reflects four generations of people that are being mentored or people that are involved, starting with Paul. So 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, "In the things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others."
Can you read that one more time? We'll put this on the website too so that everyone can access these scriptures, but I just want to let that sink in.
So Paul to Timothy, so Paul mentored Timothy, Paul says, "In the things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So the picture is Paul is mentoring Timothy, encouraging him to mentor reliable people who will then teach others. So it's four generations. Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful picture.
I'm just thinking about the establishment of church, right? So we have Jesus who mentored 12. They established kind of this Christian church, and they mentored hundreds of other leaders, including Paul, and Paul mentored Titus and Timothy, and they in turn mentored and discipled others. And that leads to this chain reaction that resulted in dozens of new churches in Asia. And from that, our North American churches today.
Yes.
Right? It is something that we cannot keep to ourselves.
Oh, right. Yeah, we wouldn't be here today, would we?
No, it's not just...
Had the original disciples not been faithful.
In their relationships.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
That continue and are fostered, you know, like this... It's like passing the torch.
Right. Yeah, it's beautiful. And I'm sitting here thinking, Lisa, let's not be remiss in asking ourselves, to what end does this all matter? Why do we care about all this? It's more than just being able to encourage somebody so that they can have a better marriage, raise healthier kids, get through the day a little easier. Those are all important and valuable. But really, as we follow Christ, the end is to glorify God and to walk faithfully with within His kingdom here this side of heaven, and to be able to, you know, as we are growing in character and in our faith and trust in the Lord, the hope is that we can offer hope and light to someone that's living in the darkness, that they can see, well, we don't have it all figured out, but there's something that's different about the way you're living. I think I want some of that, or I want to know about some of that. So so the bigger picture of to glorify God.
Yeah. Because it all comes down to glorifying God.
Yeah. That He would get the glory. That, you know, even like I'm thinking of you and I, and maybe someone listening is thinking, oh, I really like the relationship, or I want that, or whatever. And I'm thinking, that's awesome, and I hope you get that for yourself, but also so that you see in Lisa and I the hope of Jesus, that we need Him so desperately. Mm-hmm. And actually, without Him, this thing we call mentoring wouldn't really work, right? Because it's Christ-centered. That's what we share in common, is Jesus, right? I mean, we'd probably be friends anyway,
right?
But when we have that when we have Christ at the center, the Holy Spirit, He's doing something bigger than us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just hope from this conversation that there are women listening, and that they know, regardless of their age, regardless of their circumstance, they can enter into a relationship of mentoring others. We see this even in our church youth group. You know, 18, 19-year-olds taking along these cherished younger middle school students, teaching Sunday school. Mm. We are never too young to start, and we're never too old to stop.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
We can be mentoring even now. And I had this, as I was preparing for this, and I can't take full credit for this because I read it somewhere, but then started to do a little bit more research and looking, because this picture just spoke to me of a young sapling, a tree. Mm-hmm. And that oftentimes a young sapling will be tied in the middle to two larger, stronger trees.
Ooh,
so that when the wind comes, and we read about this actually in Ephesians, being tossed, right? That was in the waves, but we can imagine this with the wind, that when the wind, when trial, when just life comes at us, this young tree that doesn't have its established roots yet is tied to two stronger trees, or even one stronger tree. It's able to survive. Its roots are able to grow. And then I had this picture of these older trees will not last forever. And at one point, this young sapling is going to be that big, strong tree. And needs to be one that gets attached to as well.
That's beautiful.
And this idea of tethering. Mm-hmm. We tether to one another so that we can be all that God has purposed us to be in this short time of life that we actually have. And as I was thinking about tethering, I remember, you know, I'm not a horseback rider. I know that a lot of people in this area are. I adore horses. I think that they're incredibly majestic, but I know nothing about them. I do remember, though, going on a trail ride many years ago, and there was on our trail ride, there was an older horse, a mature, well-seasoned horse, and there was a rider on that horse. And then tethered to that horse behind it was a younger horse that nobody was riding. It was a horse that had never been saddled before. But that horse was tethered to the mature horse so that it learned to stay on the trail.
That is a beautiful picture.
Right? Doesn't it just, it makes me emotional here, because that young horse had to learn how to stay on the trail with a rider on its back.
Yes.
Before it could be let loose.
And that picture of, you know, that the attachment by the rope, the tethering, at times as the horse learns, can be it can have more give.
Yes.
So at times when it's not in line, it probably has to be tighter. So that's a beautiful picture.
Which that
too,
young horse
it?
Probably doesn't like.
Probably not.
At that particular
probably
moment.
Not.
But I think that's the responsibility of the mentee as well. You know, if
yes.
we are gonna ask someone to come alongside us, if we're gonna ask someone to take their time, their energy, their prayer to mentor us, we sure better be willing.
I love that. Yeah, have it come
to
with a teachable spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's humbling. It can be humbling for someone to speak truth or maybe point out a blind spot in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be so rich when we are willing to receive it and wrestle through that
mm-hmm.
and kind of knead it through our heart and our mind and really be able to let the Lord do a work in us.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone loved us enough and risked enough to be honest with us.
Yeah.
And I've had people do that in my life before. One in particular that was really stung. It stung.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened and I worked through it and I go back to it. This was many years ago and I go back to the truth of what she was saying, and sometimes I have to correct myself and my
mm-hmm.
thinking again just mm-hmm. from that kernel. She's not in my life anymore, but that was 20 some years ago and that has stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because she was a trustworthy,
mm-hmm.
God-following
and I knew that
woman.
She cared for me.
Yeah.
I knew that she loved me. And you know, honestly, there aren't a lot of, I don't know about you, but there aren't a lot of people in my life and world that will be honest with me.
Hmm.
And so when someone is, gently and kindly,
right.
but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to have those people in my life. And you're one of those, Lisa, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for that.
I think we have, and this has come with time, but we have been able to, because we truly want what's best for, number one, the enhancement of God's kingdom and his glory. And then number two, we want what's best for each other.
Mm.
And so we have been able to be honest with each other. We've been honest when we've hurt each other.
Mm-hmm.
We've been honest where we had to call someone, you know, the other person out on something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and those things are not easy.
Mm.
I remember one time, Vicky, I made a really poor decision. It was early on in our relationship, and I was directing moms, and it was just this lack of wisdom. I'll actually tell you what it was. I made an announcement and asked for volunteers to fill a role, and it was a role that a volunteer should not have filled.
Okay.
It was a role that you and I should have discerned and established together.
Okay.
We should have decided together
mm-hmm.
who would fill this role.
Mm-hmm.
And I did realize it the moment it left my
okay.
mouth. And
shoot, I hate
know,
when that happens.
Oh, it was just, and you know that happens to me frequently, right?
Wow.
This is one of the
You're
things.
Saying it, not me.
This is one of my problems. And I had to come to you, and I had to tell you what I did. And I needed to take responsibility for it. And you know what? You didn't say, oh, no, Lisa, it's okay. You said, okay, well, how could you have done this differently? And what are you going to do about it
mm-hmm.
now? And you did help me work through the restitution of the problem, because the truth is it amounted to a large problem where some volunteers did come forward and I had to tell them no.
Oh, shit.
And
yeah.
so they said, but
yeah.
you offered it.
Right.
And why can't I? What's wrong with me? And it was terrible. It was a grueling experience. You walked me through it, but you did not take the value that I gained from learning through that process away from
mm-hmm.
me. And you were honest with me that, yeah, you shouldn't have done this. How
right.
are you going to fix it?
Yeah.
And so I just want listeners to realize, you know, Vicky and I, we love each other. We have traveled together.
Mm-hmm.
We have done day retreats
mm-hmm.
together. We don't even have to talk to each other. So
I love that.
I love that, too. So we do have an incredible relationship. I don't want people to think that it's never been without
right.
a
right.
pain or
growing pains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there's a couple things that I'd like to share, too, as I'm... if you know, as before we wind
yeah.
down anyway, and the first one is that our relationship really started as mentoring and evolved and transitioned
mm-hmm.
into friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now we both learn from each other, and there's such a give and take now, which is such a blessing. But that I've had that in other relationships where I've started out as in a formal mentoring relationship, and then we really became friends. Oh, and that's so priceless. That's so priceless. Yet that transition period was hard for me as a mentor. I can't speak about the mentee, but I'll speak from a mentor, because I didn't know how to transition as far as my role, expectations that I had of her or she had of me. And there were some growing pains. And mainly because this happened in two different situations. The gals were really wanted me to stop mentoring / mothering them, is what they would say, and really just be a friend. So I had to learn what that looks like. So that's a possibility, that your formal role in mentoring can evolve, which is a beautiful thing. But just know that whenever you have a change like that, expectations need to change. Mm-hmm. And also to understand, when you're in a mentoring role, whether you're mentoring or you're the one being mentored, If you can communicate expectations,
absolutely
know what your limits are,
yes,
set boundaries where appropriate, that really, really can help. Just the more definition mm-hmm. that you can give at the beginning or as you go, because some people, the gal I'm mentoring now, she just wants time together. Mm. And so, and at first I was a little nervous, like, oh, well, do we need to set a schedule, or are we doing a Bible study, or what do you want, you know? And then I realized she's a busy right. mother of little kids, and she works, and so she just values
time.
The time and being still. So we sit on my couch in front of I turn the fireplace on, flip the switch and turn the fireplace on. We have our coffee, we cuddle up in our blankets, and we talk and laugh and cry for 2 hours, and it's beautiful.
And that was her expectation, and that was
so I had to adjust my expectations. So, and then I think I mentioned this earlier too, but lastly, just being aware and prayerful that knowing when the time is winding down, because there really is a season for everything. And again, it doesn't mean your relationship is over, but if sometimes people maybe don't want to get into it. They don't want to mentor because they feel like, well,
it's never going to end.
When's it going to end? Or I can't commit to that because I'm doing this next year or whatever. But the more you communicate as you go, I think the more healthy it can be. Mm-hmm. So,
Vicky, thank you.
This has been a treasure.
Yeah, a treasure. I want to do
walking
this again.
Down memory lane.
I know. I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for who you are in my life. I'm thankful that you did take that risk and decide to mentor me. I'm thankful for everything
you
that
you kind of landed
learned.
In my lap.
I did. That was God ordained.
Yes,
it really was.
I think so.
And I'm so just genuinely appreciative for the wisdom that I have been able to glean from you over the years.
Thank
and I
you.
Know that there will be much more to come. And it is our prayer that women around us
yes.
are in relationship too. And it might not look like ours,
right.
but boy, relationship is important.
It is.
So as listeners, we really want to challenge you, regardless of your age, be in deep relationship with the Lord so that you can be in relationship with other women. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be incredible? Mm. And so on our website, we're going to put some scripture up there for you to reflect on. We're going to recap a few of the things that Vicky and I talked about today. And we hope that as an Arise Collective, there are women mentoring women throughout this community. Mm.